Fantastic podcast where we believe that through books and banter all is possible. I'm Steph, aka Ideally Inspired Reviews on Instagram, and I'm joined by
I'm Ava, the High Lady of Summer, Tarquin's wife, Tarquin's mate, Tarquin's bitch, like whatever, you know, suffix you want. And I'm Kingdom of Mass on Instagram. And I'm so excited for this episode. You guys don't even know. I'm so fucking pumped. Oh my god. Okay, Steph, continue.
She really is, you guys. Anywho, so obviously we've started covering just about everything in the Mass in universe, but of course there's still a very important part that we need to acknowledge and celebrate.
And that's Tarquin, the one and only. Oh my god. Okay, so how did this all come about?
Well, Tarquin, in addition to Tarquin, the Zaddies of the Mass universe.
But mostly
Tarquin. Of course, that equates to Tarquin in Ava's universe.
Yes. Okay, so June 20th is Father's Day in the United States. And it's also the summer solstice, which means that it's Tarquin's time to shine. Which means that because it's also Father's Day, it's also Daddy's Day. And he is a daddy. So this episode is dedicated to the one and only, the hottest man alive. Like, literally, I mean, I dare you to find any place that's warmer than the summer court. You won't be able to find it. He is just the one, like, anytime I think about him, it's like an instant boost of serotonin. Like, for legitimately, there was a month where I could not see my therapist because she was on maternity leave, and I was like, that's fine, I can make it a month. And I did make it a month. And you know why? Because I'd literally just think about Tarquin when I was sad, straight up, and I would feel better. Literally, it's like an instant, like, cure all. It's amazing. I love him.
I'm gonna start doing
so
that for
much.
Helion. I'm gonna start,
dude, it
using
works.
Helion as my coping mechanism.
It
we'll see how it goes.
I'm kidding. I am not suggesting substituting fictional characters for professional therapy, but also at the same time, if desperate times call for desperate measures, it does work as a temporary temporary service. To be fair, okay, this actually was not just me doing wish fulfillment because I'm in charge of the scripts. This was a requested topic of conversation. Somebody in our Patreon group wanted us to talk about underrated characters or side characters, the characters who kind of don't get a lot of page time. And they did specifically mention Tarquin, so obviously I took that and I ran with it. But I think it does bring up a good point, actually, that, like, I love Tarquin so much and the fandom loves Helion so much. And that, I think, is just a testament to how good Sarah is at building thirst traps, even in characters who only appear briefly. Like, I literally feel like some of these characters are like those, like, 30-second TikTok videos where you're like, okay, what's happening? And then all of a sudden it's like a very shirtless, very sensual man, and you're like, all right, like, there's been virtually no development, but I'm fucking here for it.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's what it is. And yeah, so this episode is going to be like unabashed Tarquin propaganda and celebrating the summer court. I'm actually eating sea salt caramel ice cream as we speak, because that is how fucking obsessed I am with the ocean. I will be disclosing a fun vacation that I recently took. In May, I went on vacation, so I'll be talking about that. And why I actually have to go back on some of the things and statements that I've made in previous episodes, because it turns out that I truly am
redact.
Summer court bitch. Yeah, I'm just like so excited for this episode. I can't even fucking tell you. Oh my god. Steph's just laughing. Like, it's just gonna, the episode is gonna be me like ranting and Steph laughing in the background and Ernie like barking in the background. And that's, like, the entirety of this episode. But actually, okay, so Helion aside, Steph, before I jump into my Tarquin propaganda.
So I can say Tarquin aside before I ask a question?
No.
Because, wow, you're going to just completely remove Helion from, okay.
No.
Go.
No. I'm asking because it's, like, broad. So obviously Helion and Tarquin are kind of, like, our main, like, undeveloped thirst traps, like the guys who have again appeared for a very short amount of page time but were like fucking obsessed and like would lick their feet, like whatever. So, are there any other characters in the Crescent City universe and the Throne of Glass universe that you feel the same way about? Like, they appeared for, like, half a second, but you're, like, kind of obsessed with them?
Aedas.
Okay, fair. Fair. That's a good one. I was actually going to say...
Darian.
Okay, no. He doesn't count because it's canon that he's going to get more page time, so he's no longer a side character as of the next book, so that doesn't count.
Well, he is as of right now, right?
No, that's not when what I'm talking about.
Recording, he is... Oh,
I'm so sorry. This is where I grow a backbone. Like, I'm generally such a chill person. I'm like, yeah, all right. Like, we can go with that. That's your opinion. Like, that's cool. But, like,
don't
no.
Talk about the
don't
fish
fucking
boys.
Talk about don't the talk fish about boys. About you can't. Like, this is where, this is my territory. No, he's a main character.
Okay,
main character energy
fine.
All
okay,
the way.
Aedas. Aedas is one. All right.
All right.
Okay. Technically, Fenris is also another because.
Technically,
we don't get too much on him.
I guess that's true. He didn't have, like...
I mean...
Yeah.
We didn't get an HEA.
That's
we got
true.
A happy for now.
That's true.
So...
All right.
Okay. What about you?
I was actually going to say, so for Throne of Glass, this is so funny to me, because he literally appeared for, like, half a second, so I don't know why.
Rolf.
But, no. wait, who'd
okay.
you say?
Rolf.
Oh, no, although him, yes, absolutely.
Pirate.
No, he's hot as uh-huh. fuck. I would, yeah. No, for sure. I would rock a boat with him. But no, I was actually going to
wow.
say... I was actually going to say Ren Alsbrook.
Oh.
Who
oh, yeah.
is like this like...
yeah, he really is.
Like sexy, scarred, like... angry, angsty, emo boy wanting to, like, get revenge for his country. And he appeared in, like, Crown of Midnight and then, like, very, very, very briefly in, like, Kingdom... or in Queen of Shadows and then slightly in Kingdom of Ash. And I was just, like... whenever he'd appear, I'd be like, you... like, I have those pages tabbed where he shows up. Like, yeah. So that's another one. I think Sarah does a great job of just being like, I don't know if you know this, but there's a sexy man behind you with like all of her characters. Like, you can't escape them.
Yes. Yes. True.
Oh my God. Okay. So it is the summer solstice, which is really amazing. And I probably should have taken it upon, it's not the summer solstice yet, but it will be. I probably should have taken it upon myself to... like, do some research about, like, what that actually means. But I do want to say that I, like, actually, this is why I need, like, a World of Prithian or, like, a World of A Court of Thorns and Roses, like, encyclopedia book. Because during the Akawar scene where Feyre, like, lights up in order to, like, manipulate Ianthe and, like, Lucien, like, kneels in front of her and whatever, and they're all like, oh my god, this is incredible. That scene happens during the summer solstice. Like, they're up really early doing all these, like, celebrations and, like, religious ceremonies because it's the summer solstice. So we know that it has, like, some prominence in Prithian, and I really want to know. Mm-hmm. So, like, we know that, like, the Spring Court has Calenmai, and the Night Court has Starfall. Briefly, Ninsar is mentioned, which is, like, a festival of flowers of sorts. But I want to know... like, how the summer court goes ham for the summer solstice. Like, what do they do? How do they party? Obviously, the pleasure barge is involved. Maybe there's, like, a fleet of pleasure barges, and you can, like, hop from one to another. Steph's like, yeah, sure, girl. Whatever
I mean,
you
listen,
want.
No, I mean, wait, I'm here for anything that has the word pleasure in it, so... I'm genuinely like, oh, that sounds
like,
fun.
Like, I'm imagining, like... platters. You know how, like, it's a thing that, like, people will eat sushi off of each other? I'm imagining, like, that in certain pleasure barges for people who are interested in that. Like, I am picturing, like, the most ridiculous, because it's mentioned that it's a pretty wealthy court. Like, obviously, Tarquin has, like, 12 museums under his castle. I, like, am just imagining that it's, like, Mardi Gras almost. Like, parties and jewels and, like, lots of food, eat all the food, and yeah, like, I'm just, my headcanons for this moment wild. Actually, ask Sarah. She's in the summer court right now. Ask her what's
she
up.
She is.
Because I want to know, like, how do the summer court, I feel like they party hard. I feel like
I'm still waiting on her to respond to, like, the text that I sent her right before we started recording, where I was like, by the way, we're about to record our Zaddy's Day.
She's probably trying to figure out what the fuck Zaddy's are.
She probably is, considering Josh didn't even know what a meme was. Oh, bless. Like, again, that goes to show, like, everybody's like, oh, Sarah's never online. Like, literally, Sarah and Josh know nothing practically about online stuff if it isn't stuff that's sent to them. So, but I went to type Mass Daddy episode or something, and it, like, auto-corrected to Mac Daddy, and I was like, same. Close similar.
Enough. Yeah.
Fair.
Oh, my God.
So, anyways, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just, like, ranting about how, like, incredible I think this party is, and how yeah, I want to go there. I want to go to there so badly.
Well, and I feel like to be fair, in all of her books, all of her series, anytime that there is like a celebration of sorts, they do go all out, yeah. Man. Shit.
No,
so I can only imagine what it's like. I mean, even in Akamath, when they were in the summer court, it wasn't necessarily like a hardcore like celebration or anything, right. But it was like a welcome banquet, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like there's still a good time.
No, they still whipped out the pleasure barge. So. Even for that.
Exactly.
They were like, all right. So. You know, guests are coming. Pleasure barge. You know.
Right.
They're like, oh, another
party
day.
Party time.
Another. The sun is up. Though, the water is wet.
I guess.
Pleasure barge.
In folklore, in general, like, fae are known to like. Oh, Sarah just replied. She said OMG with a million laughing emojis. I told her, obviously I'm going to be talking about my baby daddy Healy, and she said yes, obviously. Anyway, sorry. So like, I just imagine that any of the fae will just be,
yeah. I mean, well, like, we get that
that's a party I want to go to.
That scene in ACOTAR, which I actually really appreciated it from Feyre's perspective, but, like, there is a little party. Maybe it's, like, the spring equinox or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. But in the first, like, ACOTAR book, like, there is that little party where Feyre and Tamlin, like, dance and everything, and she, like, drinks the fairy wine. And, like, I think they literally just, like, let loose in, like, a very, like, almost animalistic type way, a very, like, natural way, I guess, and I think that is so fun, and I want to know desperately what the summer court equivalent is. So, So while Sarah's on the phone, no, I'm kidding.
right?
Okay. I guess I'll talk. So you're going to, of course, bring back a ton of amazing stories about Hawaii, and we're all very excited to hear them. I'm super excited to hear about the turtles, for one. That's, like, amazing.
Same.
But this past month, I had the opportunity to go to Croatia with my family, which was probably, like, the most amazing trip that we've ever been on. We've gotten, like, really lucky. We've gotten to go to a lot of really cool places. But Croatia is, like, my heart. It makes my heart so happy going back there. We learned that my last name is not, in fact, Czech. It's actually Croatian.
That's cool.
Super cool.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. Like, my dad was talking because it's a very, it has a lot of Slavic roots. And my dad was talking to, like, one of the locals, and the local thought that my dad was also a local, because he was like, oh, Tushek, like, you're from that village where the Tusheks are, because it's technically Tushek. My dad was like, no, but that's how we learned. That's how we learned. But honestly, I'm claiming, like, I will totally claim to be a Croatian lady over a Czech lady. Like, no offense to Czech people, I also think you're awesome, but, like, there's
like,
water
no
there
to my people.
My issue is that, like, the Czech Republic is very landlocked and Croatia was not. So I remember in episodes past I have discussed my hatred for getting my hair wet and, like, generally going into the ocean. despite the fact that I'm the high lady of the summer court. Well, guess what, everyone? Not only did I go into the ocean, but I got my hair wet. I did it all voluntarily, and I did it multiple times for several hours at a time. And it was amazing, and I loved every single second of it. I ate buckets of seafood, which I have never done in my life before. I've always been like a forget fish. If you try to give me anything fishy, I'm gonna like spit it out and probably hit you. But no, the amount of fish that I ate, the amount of raw fish that I ate, like I'm probably like, okay. No, it was very good though. 10 out of 10 recommend carpaccio.
Sure. I will take your word for it and everybody else's word for it. But like,
okay, but
you can barely get me to eat cooked seafood. You're not going to catch me eating raw seafood. Sorry. Gross.
It was.
Anyways, but continue.
Okay. To be fair, the funny part about this was we're 3 days into the trip and I've been eating all of this seafood and I was like, oh my, this is so good. My parents were like, yeah, duh. No shit. This is very good. We've been telling you this for years. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think maybe I'll have to adjust it. Maybe I'll just have to say, oh, I don't like raw seafood. And they literally looked at me and like with the most absolute, this is the dumbest bitch we've ever seen look. Like, I swear to God, my parents roasted me with just their eyeballs. My dad was like, carpaccio is raw. My mom's like, tartare is raw. My parents are like pointing. They're like, the octopus is raw. Everything is raw. And I was like,
You're like, okay, mind your business. I didn't ask you.
Exactly. I know. I was like, I'm not sure where I was addressing you or asking for critique, really. Like, please stop.
I do not need to be corrected. I just need to be accepted.
I was like, let me live my life, please. But I kept eating it because it was all flipping amazing. So all of this say, I really am that summer bitch. And I belong there. I'm staking my claim now. The wine was phenomenal. 10 out of 10 recommend. We had orange wine, which I feel like they would also do in the summer court, but I've never had it before, but it was very good. Yeah, so that's my story that I'm sure you are all just hanging on the edge of your seats for. The moral of that story is that I am, in fact, the high lady of the summer court. Like, I could live there. Like, I didn't think I could do it when I first read ACMAF and he was like, everything is seafood. I was like, I might perish. Like, they might have to specifically import shit for me. But it turns out, no, I would be there in potentially even in a boat on the water, maybe getting my hair wet. Like,
maybe
we'd see how generous Tarquin was. Probably very generous. Have you looked at this man's character? It's like ridiculous. He's so nice. Okay. Steph, is there anything you would like to say before I have more to talk about, and it's all Tarquin related, but I would like to give you the opportunity. Speak now or forever hold your peace, dude.
No, I mean, listen. I just feel like from what Ava was saying about going to Croatia and experiencing all this stuff, I feel we kind of talked a little bit about this off air before as well, where like I am also not a very seafoody person. Like, mm-hmm. I live in Maryland. I was born in DC, but I was primarily raised in Maryland. So I'm huge into crabs, obviously. Like, I will till the day I die, love me a crab. But aside from that, I don't really care too much. I mean, besides like shrimp and lobster, like I don't really care for seafood. But it's something about when you go to a coastal area. Yes. Like, I mean, granted, I live in a coastal area, but like a tropical coastal area, or Mediterranean coastal area, like that you just feel like you're one with the land.
No, literally.
I need to have all this seafood. I need to get into the ocean. Yeah. I need to get my hair wet. Like, I mean, I totally get that. And I think the same thing would apply with like the summer court.
Right.
Like, you know, like if we were guests in the summer court, we would want to be one with their traditions and the land. So I totally get that. I don't think that there's anything contradictory either.
I feel like that'll make it easier. And like, even when you go to Hawaii, like actually the next time I go to Hawaii, I'm very excited to like try more of the fish and everything. Cause I think the difference between like American food and like not, and I mean, I'm talking coastal America, like Hawaii is technically part of, it's one of the 50 states, although I don't really vibe with that, but that's a whole another conversation.
Meanwhile, let me just tell you, speaking of that, like my nail lady, God bless her. I know she doesn't listen to the podcast, but she was like, oh, as soon as I found out I don't need my passport to go to Hawaii, I was all about it. I was like, oh dear.
My God.
Oh dear,
girl.
Oh dear.
Holy shit. You know, okay, that reminds me of this one time that I was like scrolling on Hinge or Bumble or some shit, and I saw this guy, like one of the questions was like that, like one of the like templated questions, prompts, there we go, that's the word, that you can do is like, I really hope to ... and he'd answered, I really hope to visit all 7 countries before I die. And I was like, who's gonna tell him? Who's gonna tell him?
You need to tell him.
I was like, oh my God. Anyway, just like same energy. So that's why I had to bring that up. Same energy. Okay. Anyway, it's a rough world out there.
And it's a rough world.
But what I was gonna say is that, like, again, like with American food, a lot of it is not that great. I'm just gonna say it. And so like the fish that we do is like fine. Like I have friends who are really big fans of like fish sticks, and like no hate to fish sticks. Like I get it. Like if
God, I can't eat.
I don't. It's not my thing.
Like that is like one phrase that like or term that literally like viscerally.
No, I don't.
I feel nauseous.
It's not my.
When I hear fish sticks, so
it's not my vibe. I'm just gonna say that as nice as I can. It's not my vibe. But like going to Croatia, I think the difference is that, like, I mean, first of all. We went to this one restaurant where this guy was like, what kind of fish would you like? And we were all kind of like, we're not too sure. He was like, just a moment, please. He walks away and he comes back with a platter of like literal like fish, like newly catched fish. And he was like, newly caught. Jesus Christ. Anyway, it's fine. Newly caught fish. He's like, yeah, we caught these 2 hours ago. Which would you like? So like there's just there's a freshness to it that I really appreciate with my fish. Because I feel like fish does not store as well as other meats. So that I appreciate. And then there's also the fact that they're like, they've been working on these recipes and this like method of cooking for like hundreds of years. Like before the United States was even like colonized, you know? So it's just different. Yeah. It just tastes better. So I'm excited to go back to Hawaii and try fish the way that they do fish as opposed to the way some Americans
they do any
do
food,
fish.
Really.
Yeah,
but yeah,
good point.
I mean, and it was funny because so this is going to be my first time going to Hawaii. And I've been to, like, for example, when I was, when I went to the Amalfi Coast in Italy, I will say that before I went there, I was not a huge tomato fan. Mm-hmm. Like, just regular raw tomatoes. Like, right. I liked tomato sauce and that kind of thing, but I was not a fan of just raw tomatoes. And it wasn't until I went to obviously a country like Italy that knows how to basically cook there or make anything with tomatoes be delicious,
right?
It wasn't until then that I came home that I was like, okay, you know what, maybe I do vibe with tomatoes. And I just didn't realize it. So I feel like that's what's going to happen when I go to Maui. Like, it's going to be like, you know what, I didn't vibe with just like you said, like mainland seafood.
Yeah.
But maybe
no, literally
going to Hawaii, I will vibe with their seafood. I'm here for it. I'm excited. Anyways, that's enough about food because now I'm hungry.
Exactly. I know, that's the problem with food, man. I lied, there is no problem with food. That's the problem with the human body, is that there's not always food available immediately. that's not true. Food's problem. Okay,
word.
Moving on. So we will, like, I am definitely going to leave time to talk about Helion, because I think this also kind of applies to Helion, actually.
Yeah, we are.
Steph's okay. Like, I did not show up for these past 25 minutes
exactly,
to not get my page time.
okay.
No.
Because we can't have a Daddy's Day episode without talking about one of the best daddies.
No, you're in right. The Sarah J. Especially Mass considering universe, like he is so. A literal daddy. Like literally he has yeah, fathered legit. A child.
Like so, an like, actual
like actually. Dilf. Yeah. So, okay. Yes.
Anyways.
So one of the things that I kind of want to bring up regarding the High Lords, this is something that I've been thinking about for a while, like a long time. And now I have, I mean, we all know that I have beef with Rhysand. Like, I would fight the man in a parking what? Lot.
You?
Yeah. yeah, I just cannot stand him. But that's beside the point. Well, it kind of isn't. That's a lie. I think that, like, Rhys gets off on being like, I'm the most powerful High Lord of all time. Anytime he says that, I just want to deck him so much, but it's fine. It's whatever. But he does say that a lot. And it was one of the things that, like, Amrin used as justification in A Court of Silver Flames when she was like, maybe you should become High King. And fortunately, he was like, no, I don't want to become High King. And I hope he maintains that attitude because it's, I would not want to see it. But anyway, I think there's something to be said about, like, I know that Feyre mentions a lot of the time that, like, Rhys's power is so other from the other High Lords, and, like, I respect that. But Sarah also didn't spend the entirety of A Court of Thorns and Roses, like, building up the High Lords' power and making Feyre so afraid of them to not have them actually be very powerful in and of themselves. And so I am bringing up, this is, like, I'm trying to summon an ounce of embarrassment or shame, and I literally can't because I'm, like, so fucking obsessed with this and have gone back and, like, read through the books 8 million times to, like, find out all this information. But I actually think that, first of all, Prithian would have been fucked in spite of Rhys's super specialness for many reasons during Akawar. But I think that other than Tamlin, like, I literally think that Tamlin is, like, the one with, like, a dysfunctional High Lord abilities as opposed to the rest of them. Like, I actually think they're a lot more powerful than we've seen. And, like, especially I think that Tarquin is kind of, like, underrated in this sense because, like, he's nice, and so people kind of underestimate him and assume that he has nothing to add.
Right.
But let's look at these receipts, shall we? And a lot of this information, not like these specific examples, but this kind of like general thought line, I think can absolutely be applied to Helion. Because like all of the coolest things that Feyre's done with her powers have been like the powers that she got from Helion. So I actually think they're all very powerful and I want to see more of it. But back to Summer, because this is my time to shine. I just think it's really interesting that the Summer Court kept the Book of Breathings, which easily could have been lost, much like the Cauldron, and they were entrusted to keep it. And before anyone goes, yeah, but they lost it, let's remember that at the beginning of A Court of Mist and Fury, Asriel comes to Rhysand and he's like, hey, Rhys. And Rhys is like, what? And Asriel says, boy, they stole parts of the Cauldron. And they did. Like, literally, Highburn snuck into the Night Court, ransacked the priestess's, like, temples, which is actually, incidentally, where Gwyn's terrible backstory comes from, and stole pieces of the Cauldron. You know who Highburn didn't steal from? Steph, this is your cue.
The Summer Court.
There you go. Thank you for humoring me. I appreciate it.
I should have taken a longer pause.
You should have taken a longer.
Pretend like
you should have given a wrong answer.
Didn't know where you were going. Yeah, right. Because then you would have like slapped me through the phone. Like, how fucking dare you?
But like, literally, there is no fucking way that they would have gotten that book had Feyre not had like Tarquin's own powers. Like, she kind of cheated. Like, I respect it. It was a queen move for sure. But like, she did kind of cheat. So like, where else would they store these like powerful items? Like, they put it in Summer for a reason. I think it's actually a very powerful court. Moving on to bullet point 2. Everyone who's listening to this is going, Jesus Christ, does she have a PowerPoint? And it, no, I don't have a PowerPoint.
She does.
But I actually do have bullet points. Many bullet points. Okay. Second point. Rhys would have been fucked during the High Lords meeting in Akawar. Like, even Feyre acknowledges this. This is a moment where they're like, okay, we have to reveal that Rhys is actually, like, a nice person and he's not going to screw everyone over. And then they're, like, eyeing Tarquin and they're, like, buddy, don't say anything. They're, like, please be quiet. Please don't say anything. Please don't say anything. Please don't say anything. Because they know that he's, like, fucked him over. And rather than do some, like, bullshit power play or, like, throw it in their faces in the way that, like, Tamlin definitely would have done, he was, like, actually, I'm going to advocate for Rhys, and I'm going to acknowledge the trauma that he went through under the mountain. Like, he's so perceptive and, like, emotionally intelligent. I love him so much. Y'all, he's so smart. He's, like, he's just so generous. He was, like, he could have, like, single-handedly, like, ruined Rhys's life in that moment. But instead, he vouches for them, he rescinds the blood rubies, and he tells Tamlin to fuck off, like, all in the same breath. So
I know, it is pretty awesome.
That's hot. Like, that's really sexy. That's some sexual content. That is not suitable for work content. Okay. I think that this is totally a war crime, but I think that drowning people on land is more intimidating than Rhys poofing people. I'm just going to say it. I don't necessarily approve of his actions in that moment, because all of those soldiers had, like, were begging for mercy and they had given up and, like, admitted defeat, and he killed them anyway. So, like, that's not great. But he, I mean, like, I'm sorry, Rhys, like, snapping his fingers and someone turns into, like, fairy dust, like, that's okay, that's cool, but, like, if you start drowning people on they vaporize, you know, and he's like, they're like, oh, he misted them. And I'm like, if somebody says, I'm going to mist you, like, I don't have nightmares about that. But if someone was like, I'm going to drown you on dry fucking land without an inch of water in sight, like, I would literally have nightmares for forever, you know? Like, that's hot. I probably shouldn't say that. That's probably a terrible thing to say, but whatever. I was turned on during that scene. No, that's not true. It was a very intense moment. Listen, okay. The facts is that I get turned on whenever Tarquin's on the page, so, like, it doesn't really matter what he's doing. It actually has nothing to do with what he's doing. It's just him. I also just want to say that he's the most generous because he lets Tamlin's people stay on his land, and he opens his territory up to the humans. Who else was offering to do that? I mean, I'm, like, looking under rocks, and it was none of these other bitches. They were all being such, like,
true.
Tamlin, Baron. I mean, obviously those two suck. But, like, Callias didn't show up. You know who did? Tarquin. The Summer Court showed up. The Summer Court was there. This is one of the pieces.
But also, no representative from the other courts are banging any of the people in Night Court, though.
Well, I don't think they were by that point. At least not by the point that, like, he offered his territory to Tamlin's people. Maybe after the humans went to Adriata. But, like, literally, I'm so fucking jealous. There were humans in Adriata and I was not one of them. Some bullshit, honestly.
Womp womp.
Basically. This is something that just, like, okay. Like, I know that, like, in real life, comparing, like, dick size is, like, objectifying men, and that's terrible, and, like, we shouldn't do that. But let's just, like, look at this comparison. In the beginning...
I know we shouldn't do that. However, let's do that.
In the beginning of Akawar, Tamlin could not winnow 11 people across his territory. I did the math. I counted how many people were in this group of people that he was trying to winnow to different, like, spots where the wall was breaking. And he had to take breaks. He had to, like, take a nap. He had to get some food, some fuel. And I was like, okay, well, that's not impressive. Do you know what happens a couple hundred pages later? Tarquin fucking winnows two armies. Literal fucking armies across his territory. And he's like, I'm fine. You know who didn't need a rest? You know who didn't need to take a Viagra?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just kidding. It was fucking Tarquin. He literally shows up every time. He gets the job done and no one acknowledges it except for me.
No, I'm sure that there are a few other people who did.
I'm sure there are.
Just not people we've talked to.
They're just like not quite as vocal. We could continue to talk about the fact that he literally has 12 museums under his palace. I'm a museum nerd.
Which
I would
is
be
hella
set
awesome,
for days. Yeah, it's amazing. He wants to eradicate both the racism and the monarchy in Prithian, which is like the comparison between like Rhys toggling with the idea of being High King and Tarquin going, what if we had a democracy? Is just like so sensual to me. Like, get out a fan. I need to be like cooled down. I love him so fucking much. Okay. I also think there's a moment where it's explicitly stated that Tarquin has a tone. And
well, honestly, I mean, let's be real. Like, the whole blood rubies.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he was able to assert his, like, badassery remotely from just sending some fucking blood rubies.
For
like,
sure.
He didn't even have to actually speak on the page.
Nope.
Is pretty badass.
No, he's not. I think this is one of the things that, like, it doesn't bother me. It's just something that I've noticed is that people are like, oh, I like Tarquin, but he kind of seems like a pushover. And I'm like, I just want to remind you that blood rubies, first of all, there are so many moments where Rhys sort of tests the boundaries and Tarquin literally tells him to, like, shut the fuck up. Like, there are moments where he's like, I want to be your friend, Rhysand, but, like, don't think I will tolerate threats from you. And that was the moment, like, I audibly gasped. It was gorgeous, but like he's really not a pushover. He's just like smart and less concerned with the drama, I think.
Well, it's straightforward.
I think
he doesn't
like
have to deal with all that. Like,
okay. So I have talked,
bullshit.
I feel like a deflated balloon, happy, just like vibing because I've talked about Tarquin now for almost 40 minutes and that feels good. It's a good day. Steph, talk about Helion. Take it away. Bring it on.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and mic
Steph
drop it with just the word.
So
with just good. The word Pegasus. So,
all right, fair.
I feel like Helion once again is the flamboyant zaddy of my heart.
Yes.
The fact that he like threw a like off the page tantrum, but not really, about the fact that he couldn't have like a full-on like parade being drawn with his gold carriage and his Pegasus was enough to have me floating on air for 15 solid minutes. I will say, if anybody followed me while I was doing my Akasif updates, I'm pretty sure that on my Instagram I have, I saved it as a highlight. Like, I was doing non-spoilery updates, and when I hit the page where Helion arrived, I legit, like, had to put the book down and not read for a bit because I was so ridiculously giddy over just the nonsense that was literally like two pages that was at the beginning of the chapter with him arriving on a fucking Pegasus.
No.
Like, I still to this day cannot get over the Pegasus. And again, just, he is just all the pomp and circumstance. Like, he's just so fucking
for sure
extra. But I love that he's extra because he knows he can be extra.
Yes.
And it's not like he's compensating for anything.
Right.
He's just genuinely being extra.
It's like extra, but make it elegant, if that makes sense. Like, he does it
there's
nothing obnoxious
so
about
much.
It. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
there's I feel like there's very little that he can do to make me not love him.
That's exactly how I feel about Tarquin.
I mean, well,
who's literally committed some war crimes. It's fine. He didn't know what he was doing.
No, I think he knew what he was doing, but you know what? Maybe because I mean, granted, he also had, he got the short end of the stick family-wise.
That's
like,
true.
In the sense of, like, what happened during the wars and stuff yeah. like that. Like,
to be fair,
he was just taking out.
Had already
he didn't have an
up.
Opportunity to take it out before. His whole life. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Fucking Ernie. So, yeah, like, I feel like I'm willing to give Tarquin a pass. Just because, I mean, Highborn yeah. soldiers also have done some terrible shit.
This is also
so,
true.
Yeah. So it's not like they captured these people right. with the sole intent to torture and murder them
right.
or anything either. So again, I feel like morally we've got a gray area here. So it's fine. But yeah, no, Helion is the High Lord of my loins yeah. is what I like Ooh. To tell people.
I'm going to borrow that.
Yeah. Alicia made me like a hand drawn like little graphic for me
oh
that
God.
Is now like my lock screen where it's Helion, the High Lord of my loins.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I get like anytime that I ask Sarah about what's going on with Helion, I also preface every question with how is the High Lord of my loins? Like, you know, will he be in this scene or is this going to happen? I get very excited. And it was funny because when I was texting Sarah about the Pegasus moment of Akasif, she was like, I have been like waiting with bated breath basically for me to get that because she knew that I would be like ridiculously over the top, crazy, giddy about it. So, and it was true. But anyways, we've talked about it in the past. We've mentioned like, you know, what we hope to see.
Mm-hmm.
We've speculated on, you know, what's to come with them, but like with the exception of the fact that of course I'm obsessed with his character, he's also one of those characters that you, even if you only continue to get small bits and pieces of, you still feel like you're getting a whole feast.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, because he makes such an impact like in those small
right.
little amounts of pages. So it's not just me being like like hyper fixated.
Yeah. No.
It's just one character. Like, I genuinely think that he's like,
oh. Well, I also think it's like a recognition of like these characters actually do quite a bit for the narrative. Like, it's very,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like background, right? But like, without, you know, Tarquin's armies, like, they would have been screwed. Like, without Helion, you know. First of all, I mean, all of the power that he gave to Feyre was very much necessary. His part in Akasif was very necessary. Like, they're actually contributing to the plot and, like, helping out our faves. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, important. But there's also just the knowledge that I think, and I guess this could be said of all characters. This is just me, like, literally wanting some wish fulfillment to happen. But, like, I feel like with some characters, I wouldn't be interested in reading, like, a whole book about them. But with these two, I think, like, no offense to Callias, but I feel like I could keep, like, a Callias, like, centered story in, like, a novella. Whereas with these two, like, they're just so politically in tune to, like, what's going on. Like, just aware of what's happening. And then also they have a lot of agency. And so those yeah. all make for good story bits. So, like, when we say we want a Helion novel, we want a Tarquin novel, it's not just because we think they'd have hot sex. But, like, I think that Sarah could go in a lot of really interesting directions with them, like, developmentally wise.
Right.
Although yeah. I am here for the hot yeah. sex. Like, don't get it twisted, Sarah, if you're listening. I'm also here for just a novel of, like, erotica. I would not say no.
Right? I know, like, we could just take, like, some on the cutting room floor.
Literally.
See, it's like, I'm fine with that. Just give me something. I mean, I genuinely, and I'm not saying this just because I'm talking with Ava, but I genuinely do hope that, like, Tarquin gets somebody that
yeah.
we... Me
I hope
and
he gets
me.
Like a happily ever after. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he definitely deserves it, especially after everything that happened in Akamath
right.
and then subsequently ACA war and so on and so forth. But I mean, I kind of feel like we can't get just like straight Varian and Amarin and not have any more Tarquin time.
That's how I feel.
We've got to.
At this point, I'm like not even invested in Varian and Amarin as a couple. I'm just invested in the possibility of getting more Tarquin through them. Like, it is very opportunistic of me, but it is the truth. Mm-hmm. So, actually, regarding Helion, some people, I kind of want to do, like, I lied, because I want to do a different episode about that. So, I'm not gonna open up that can of worms quite yet. But, if you have anything else to add about Helion, please do say it now, because I just, if Tarquin...
I mean, because obviously, we're going to have to address him in future. It's true. So I'm going to save some of that for later.
All right. Yeah. All right, fair. I wonder what their beast forms look like. Now I'm like, do they ride like water horses in the summer court? Like, instead of jet skis, they have.
I feel like with Helion, he has to be like a dragon or some shit, like fire breathing.
I would think like more autumn court. I thought he was more like an eagle. I thought that was how he was described, as having like a bunch of like feathers and shit. Okay, I see.
We already have a raven. Why do we need an eagle too?
All right, I see.
But I mean, of course, if he has Pegasus, and I know Ava's saying Pegasi, correcting me, but whatever. Then yeah, I could understand it being a winged beast, but. Let me just, I know that fire is an autumn court thing, but like, just
no, that's okay. All right. I'll let you have that. Dragons are hot.
I mean, he's extra. He's got to be a fucking dragon.
All right.
Or a wyvern or something.
All right. I'll allow it.
So, okay.
I've taken no Tarquin criticism, so therefore we're not allowing any Helion criticism into this space.
Correct.
This is a safe space for our two favorite boys. No one else. Everyone else is like. Chopped liver at this point, but those two always get the platinum treatment. Did I say that correctly? Okay. I'm just like so delighted that I got to talk about Tarquin for this long, and potentially people will listen. What a joy. Because, like, I know I scream into my Instagram stories sometimes, but, like, is that effective? Are people really paying attention? Are they giving Tarquin
the... I am, Ava. That's all that matters. That's true.
All right. Thank you, Steph. I appreciate you. My number one fan. you understand, at least. Like, I'm glad that you feel the same way about Helion that I do about Tarquin. Because if you were, like, oh, like a re-stan, I'd be like, I don't know what I would do. Because he's just always there. You know, like there's something that's about true. The longing and the needing and the connection between two people who know their characters are the probably longing. Never going to get a full novel. Like it really is.
Like a problem. I feel like if we just, again, if we continue to manifest it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It will happen.
All right. Start your prayer circles, just, everyone. Like,
even if we don't get what we want exactly.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it'll be, like, a book that will be set in the summer court and he's just in it prominently.
No, I'm sorry. If there's a book in the summer court and he's not the main character, I know, I'll throw up.
Listen, if all you get is that, would you take that over nothing? Yeah. I would say yes.
I would take half eating. I mean, I think that for me,
it's kind of, I'm torn because, of course, I want more Helion time, but at the same time, there's baggage that comes with Helion. Right. Meanwhile, Tarquin is just, he doesn't have any illegitimate children. Just
that's true.
Chilling out there in the world.
As far as we know, I mean, he was a sailor, you know, maybe he had a wife at every port. Who's to say? Who's to say? Okay. I'm just kidding. He would never. He would be so responsible. Oh my God. Don't get me thinking about like Tarquin holding newborn children. I will literally have an explosion. Like, I will die. I'll just fall a fucking apart. Oh, my God. I'm too soft for this boy. Like, the definition of simp, when you look that up in the dictionary, is a picture of, like, me in front of my Tarquin wall.
I know.
It's not really a wall. It's more like 3 or 4 pieces of fan art. But if any fan artists are listening to this, please do draw my boy. I will buy all of it. Oh, wait. It's called a commission. Oh, my God. I'll just commission it. All right. It's going to happen.
There you go.
Okay.
Ask Alicia, since she photoshopped me with Kieran.
Yes.
From the Blood and Ash.
Excellent. Excellent.
Anyways.
Alrighty. I think that's it. Happy summer solstice, everyone. I hope you are all drinking margaritas or pina coladas. That seems vaguely summery to me.
I love it. You were like, another summer.
I don't know any other alcohol.
Some chilled rosé.
Some sex on the beach. Like, whatever you guys want. Have fun.
Wow. A mojito, a margarita.
There we go. All right. Steph knows more than I do. No, I'm like a hardcore wine drinker. I'm like, what's a cocktail?
Yeah. Well, and side note, this episode, I hope that when we name it, when we post it, it's literally going to be Tarquin.
Yes.
And then the summer solstice.
Yes.
Tarquin plus summer
Tarquin
solstice.
Tarquin plus solstice episode. Plus Helion. Yes.
Oh my God. Anyways, but yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for just the summer months, to be honest.
Me too.
So this is going to be a great like send off.
I'm very
the fucking cicadas and the winter weather, like fuck this.
I'm so excited. Sorry. Because my skin tone is about to go from deep sea fish's underbelly to like wheat bread. Like
Wow. Anyways, meanwhile, Ava's still rocking her SPF 100 yeah. while I was telling her off air that like the highest that I go is like 40. Bro. And that's like on a good day.
Oh my God.
Or 45, I think it is. But anyways, I digress. But anyways, but thank you so much for listening, you guys. If you're still on board after us gushing over our two.
How could you not be? That was such that was the best episode we've ever recorded.
Legit. Anytime I get to talk about healing is a good day.
Yeah.
But anyways, but thank you so much for listening. But make sure to also subscribe wherever you listen, if possible. Leave us a rating and or a review. And check out our website, mastastic.com, our shop, fandomtastic.com. Also, if you're interested in joining our Patreon, which is a good old time, that's at patreon.com/fandomtastic. I think I covered it all.
I think so.
Right? Follow us everywhere for all the details and book updates and such.
And remember.
And what else, Ava?
Remember. Tarquin supremacy. He's the only one that we can all love. All
wow, right. That was not what is in the script.
I'm kidding.
Nice try.
I'm actually not kidding at all. I do think that he is the best. But remember. Don't let the hard days win. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
That's right. Thank you. And happy Zaddy's
Day.
Happy solstice. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.